Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. So if you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now. At 844-322-2742 is the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Certainly was a big news weekend and a big news today as far as Trump was in Israel, and he signed an order recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights.
Right.
This was land that they won in the 67 war, I think, and then defended that in 73. But it's never been recognized that they have sovereignty over that.
Right.
UN has recognized some other thing, and but Trump said today we're recognizing Israeli sovereignty. So it was a big move on his part, a bold move on his part,
sure.
And certainly we're going to see all kinds of different things.
A lot of pushback.
Yeah, a lot of pushback for that. And then the Mueller report was finalized and given to the Attorney General, and good news as far as Trump was concerned and that sort of thing. But we'll see what that reveals if it's ever opened up to the public. But it's just an interesting world that we live in,
to say the least.
Yeah, and it's ever shifting, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't really find solid footing out there in the world, and that's why we talk about the gospel so much, because it actually provides some solid footing for us individually and for the body of Christ.
Yes.
We're anchored to Jesus, and he keeps us from going adrift, and that's why this gospel message is so vitally important for each of us individually and for the body of Christ corporately. And the thing that really anchors us is this new covenant and the final promise of the new covenant. And it's this, that I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. And so under the old covenant, God remembered their sins every year on the Day of Atonement. That was a sacrifice that was an annual reminder of their sins. They knew their debt payment had not been taken care of, had not been fully wiped out. And so it was an annual reminder. A number of years ago, there was a guy that was drunk, was driving, and killed a young girl, a teenage girl. And he was found guilty. And the parents of the young girl were a part of the sentencing, and they requested the judge to give him this sentence, that he would have to pay $1 every week on Friday, because that's when the death occurred, was on a Friday. That's when he killed this girl. He would have to send $1 every Friday. Mm-hmm. And he thought, well, it's for the number of years of her life. And I think it worked out to be $957. And so he started. He thought, this is going to be easy. I'll just send $1 every Friday. About a third of the way into it, he went back to the judge and said, this is too much. I mean, just the weekly reminder of what he did was a crushing blow to him, and worse than any other punishment that he could have been dealt. And that's what that Day of Atonement was like for the people. It was this annual reminder that they were still in the debt of sin, in God's debt, and that this blood of the bulls and goats couldn't take it away. I mean, couldn't wipe it away, could cover it temporarily, but couldn't wipe it away. But in this new covenant, Jesus offered up his blood once for all, and that was sufficient to take away all sin. So in this new covenant, there's no annual reminder. There's no daily reminder of our sins. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has wiped out the debt. Mm-hmm. If you've paid a credit card in full, you're not going to get a bill the next month or the next month or the next month. Why? That would be foolish on the credit card's company to keep sending out bills with a zero balance. It just doesn't make sense. Well, it's the same thing in this new covenant. Our sin debt has been paid in full, and God remembers our sins and lawless deeds no more. And he says this, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. You and I are going to sin today, but the blood of Jesus has already taken care of it. The blood of Jesus has already condemned the sin for what it is and said it's deserving of death. And the blood of Jesus was that once for all offering to take it away. And so when we come to Christ, when we receive him, we receive forgiveness of sins. So we are forgiven people. That's why we live in this new covenant. In the old covenant, we could never say that. And we would always have to offer up some new sacrifice for every sin that we would commit. And we would hope that God would send forgiveness to us in response. But not in this new covenant. Jesus offered up himself once and for all. And his sacrifice was sufficient to take away the sins of the world. That means your sins, and that means my sins. And so when we receive Christ, it's a done deal. We receive all the forgiveness we would ever hope to receive in him. And we have this promise that there's no longer any offering for sin. That just kind of puts the exclamation point on it, doesn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it does. And if you stop and think about it, what most of us grew up doing was constantly trying to find some substitute offering for sin.
Yes.
And now that we don't have to do it, why do we continue to do it? It's a human characteristic.
Yeah,
it's time to walk by faith in the finished work.
It takes time for the mind to rest.
Yeah.
It really does, because we're so used to when we sin, there's this guilt that's inside of us, and we need to do something about that. Mm-hmm. So we come up with some type of sacrifice, some type of offering that we could bring to God in hopes that he will receive it and he will give back to us his favor. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the way it works.
No.
We couldn't offer God anything. So God sent Jesus.
Yeah, so he offered us something.
That's exactly right. That's new life. So if you're struggling, if you're wrestling with this, thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to do something, let God's Spirit just take this passage of Hebrews 10, 17 and 18 and really sink it deep into your heart and soul. Soak it in, and I guarantee you, your mind will find a place of rest, and instead of wringing your hands over what you need to do every time you sin, you're going to start thanking the Lord for his sacrifice that took away that sin once and for all.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us today and this Monday, and we're glad you're with us. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial. If it's 8 minutes past 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we would like to talk with you. If you have a question or something to discuss, give us a call right now if you can. 844-322-2742. And friends, we're closing in on the final days of March, of course, and we have a significant way to go to meet our support need for the month. Bob, tell us where we are and where we need to go.
Well, we had a $60,000 target at the beginning of last week. We've gotten about $15,000 of that in, so we need about $45,000 to go between now and March 31st. And that's just to keep us on target for the year. So if we could get an outpouring of generosity right now, we would so greatly appreciate that. Yeah. And it doesn't take much. It just takes a lot of people doing a little bit. So if you are capable of giving $15, $50, $100 right now, we would greatly appreciate it. And that would keep this message, this good news of Jesus Christ, going out over the airwaves. And that's what your gifts go to support, is the proclamation, the airtime that we buy, to deliver this good news to hearts all around the world. So join with us. And like I said, be as generous as you can. But do what you can, and we would greatly appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Bob. And friends, for all the reasons Bob just talked about, we ask you to go online to basicgospel.net and click that prominent donate link right there on the home page. You can also use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. And in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada is where you can go to make your contribution. And when you do, 5 copies of our CD, We Are New Covenant, will be on their way to you. That's 1 for you and 4 for those closest to you. So again, click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. In Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. And guys, speaking of Canada, this call came in over the weekend.
Yes, gentlemen. When the apostles chose Matthias in the first chapter of the book of Acts, it's recorded that they chose Matthias as the apostle to replace Judas. It seemed that it was somewhat of an unusual method of decision that they used, which was, I believe, casting lots or something. I'm not even sure what that is. But basically, is it possible that that was a non-spirit of God directed activity which resulted in a choice which maybe God didn't intend? In other words, is it possible that the Apostle Paul was the one who God actually was intending to replace Judas as opposed to Matthias? Thank you.
Well, we appreciate that question, and it was an unusual way to pick Matthias, but it wasn't uncommon as far as right. The nation of Israel was concerned. Every year on the Day of Atonement, they would bring 2 goats, and one would be the sacrificial goat. They would take the blood into the Holy of Holies, and the other would be the scapegoat, mm-hmm. and they would send the scapegoat out into the wilderness. Well, how did they choose which was which? Well, they did it through casting of lots. So it was basically like rolling die. You roll it out there, roll them out there, and whichever it lands on, that's the one you choose. Well, they used that method in picking Matthias. Now, was that a wrong choice? I mean, were they getting ahead of God as far as choosing an apostle? Well, the Word of God doesn't tell us that. And certainly Paul, at this particular point in time, would have not joined the gang.
No.
He would have not said yes to...
He was looking for them.
That's right. Yeah, he was looking for them to drag them away and throw them in prison and persecute them. He was zealous about that. And so I don't know that they were getting ahead of the Lord. Back in the book of Psalms 109:8, it says, let another take his office. So Peter was just allowing that, and the other disciples was allowing that to direct the fact that they needed to choose somebody to take Judas's place. And so they did what Acts 1 says. They put forward 2 candidates. They cast the lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and Matthias became one of the 12 disciples. And there was reason they picked those 2 men. They had been with Christ at his baptism, and then they were witness to his death, burial, and resurrection. Mm-hmm. So they had been followers of Jesus, not part of the inner circle, but they had seen the important event. So they were eyewitnesses to this good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they weren't just picked willy-nilly. They were real candidates to fill this slot, and the lot fell to Matthias. Now, we never hear about Matthias again, do we?
No. Nope.
So were they ahead of God? We don't know, but we do know that God always had Paul in mind, and that at the right time, he showed up in Paul's life and told him what he had been set apart to do, and that was to take the good news to the Gentile world, which he did.
Absolutely. Well, we love hearing from our listeners, and for this Canadian listener, hope that's a help to you. We have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Guys, a question by email, that are actually through Facebook, that I've been trying to get to for a while. This is from Victoria in Lincoln, California, who says, I have not been able to reconcile with my sister. I have long since forgiven her in my heart through the grace given me by Jesus Christ, but I can't be friends or feel close to her because she has never admitted that she's done anything wrong. I told her how she offended me. She knows it was horrible, and that's where she leaves it.
Well, it takes 2 as far as the reconciliation process is concerned, and it takes an admission of guilt to actually receive forgiveness. Unless somebody's going to admit they're guilty, then whatever forgiveness you offer is meaningless. Mm-hmm. I mean, Christ died on the cross for all. He took the sins of the world upon himself. But if somebody doesn't think they need salvation or feels like they've never sinned, and certainly John talks about that in his first letter, there were certainly people back in that day saying they had never sinned. Well, if they had never sinned, then forgiveness is meaningless.
Correct.
You know, why do you need forgiveness? So a person needs to come to that point and realize their guilt. And I'm not talking about a feeling of guilt. I mean their actual guilt, that they sinned against somebody else. And so in this case, Victoria's sister sinning against her. So she can offer that, and as far as she's concerned, be at peace with her sister. But at some point, for reconciliation to really occur, the sister has to be on the same page. And I would suggest that they sit down and talk through it more. If that becomes kind of a burden and becomes a source of friction in the relationship, then just step aside and let God do his work. And we want to make things happen overnight. We have our timetable. We want to put things back together when we want to put things back together. And that's not always how it works. So if it's not working now, if there's no reconciliation that can be had now, as far as you're concerned, you're at peace with your sister. As far as you're concerned, you've extended forgiveness. Now just trust the Lord to work in that situation and bring it back together at the right time. When your sister's ready, you're already ready, then some good things are going
to
happen.
Victoria, I hope that's a help to you, and thanks for reaching out to us. And friends, you know, giving to support Basic Gospel is to those who thirst for a word of truth, like giving a drink of cool water to someone walking through a hot, dry, dusty land. Millions of people still need to hear the soul-satisfying gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth is in our hands. You hear it every day, friends, but we need you to help deliver it to others who need and want to hear. Before this day is out, I ask you to go to basicgospel.net and click donate. Make your gift today and offer that cooling, refreshing water of the gospel so that they too might hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, that's basicgospel.net. You can also use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. Guys, we had this question from Bob Christopher.
Yes, so we had a couple of Facebook questions that are just waiting to be answered. Manuel wants to know about the Seventh-day Adventists and why do they say we need to keep the Ten Commandments. And I think that's a pretty good question. And Richard, you'll probably have some keen insight in that.
Well, I was raised that way. And so I was a full believer in keeping the Ten Commandments, and in particular the fourth commandment, which is the Sabbath commandment. The reason they believe that is because, truthfully, nothing in the Bible has ever said that the seventh day isn't the Sabbath. But what the Bible has said is that we are no longer under that law. There is a different kind of Sabbath rest available to us now, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church misses that point. They don't believe that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was complete. They don't believe that it's all by grace through faith from beginning to end. Therefore, if there's something we have to do, what should we do? And they pick the law, those Ten Commandments, and I think it's unfortunate. I know personally, I'm not going to blame the church for any of this, I know personally, the harder I tried to keep that law, the worse I got. I looked great on the outside, but I didn't look good on the inside at all. And I knew that truth, but I wasn't going to admit it to anybody. It's only the grace of God that can free you from that kind of thinking. It's only recognizing who Jesus is, God himself, and what he accomplished. Victory over sin once and for all, as we were talking about earlier, and victory over death once and for all. That's victory. And he offers that to us. It's time for us to stop messing around with the law and saying, see what I've done, see what I've done, and just say, oh, Jesus, what you've done, thank you so much.
Right.
And just let him be who he is.
Because the truth is, if you violated the least of these commands, you violated the whole thing. So you stand condemned, and the punishment is death. So that's the end of the law.
Yeah.
That's the end of every law. So if somebody's violated a law in this land, then the law isn't fully lived out until punishment, until a sentence is found or delivered, and that's executed. So that's when the law is fulfilled. Well, the same as far as the law of God, those Ten Commandments, the soul that sins will surely die. Well, death is the end of the law. Well, who took our death? Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's the surprise ending. That's the twist to the story. And that twist becomes good news for you and me. So if we're going to stand in front of the law and say we're going to give it our all, then the law is going to speak back to us words of condemnation, judgment, and death. That's the only language the law knows. And we don't want to be left there. So Jesus came in. He stood in our place, and he became the end of the law. That, like I said, that's the twist. That's the good news. And so when we trust him, those righteous requirements of the law have been fully met in us. And now we've been raised to walk in the newness of life.
Yeah. Well, you had another question from Facebook, right?
Lisa writes to us and says, can you speak to the use of delighting yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart? And she says, you know, my desire, or not maybe her desire, but, you know, like if somebody says, I want to get God to make my husband behave right, that's the desire of my heart. So let's talk about that a little bit. What does that verse say mean, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart?
I fully believe that it means that if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, the indwelling Holy Spirit is in the process of renewing your mind, is going to change your desires. So that the things you begin to want are the things that are in harmony with the Spirit and with faith expressing itself through love. It's not that I have a bunch of desires and I come to Jesus and say, here are my desires, make it so.
Yes.
He doesn't respond to me like that. He initiates his love and grace to me. My want-tos change. Therefore, I'm in harmony with him, and I begin to see those things come to fruition.
Right. So Paul put it this way in Galatians 5, the desires of the Spirit are in conflict with the desires of the flesh. Well, the fact that we have the desires of the Spirit, I think that's what the psalmist is really referring to.
Yeah.
Where God is going to put new desires into our heart. Now, as far as marriage is concerned, what's that desire going to look like from a husband's standpoint and from a wife's standpoint? Well, it's submitting one to another. That's a desire of the Spirit, that we submit one to another. And as we're filled with the Spirit, controlled by the love of God, we're going to want to do that. We're going to want to submit one to another. And then as far as a husband is concerned, his desire is to love his wife as Christ loves the church. As far as the wife, her desire is to submit and respect the husband in all things. And what does that do? That indicates their unity in Christ. And that's what that passage in Ephesians 5 is all about. Their oneness, their unity in Christ. And this is how they express it one to another. So it's the Spirit that puts the desires in our hearts. And those desires are going to line up with the love of God. And that's how it works. So we don't have to really kind of wring our hands trying to figure it out.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, we love hearing from you, our listeners. And for you folks that view on Facebook and YouTube every day, we love getting those from you. Those are very spontaneous, and we love getting them. So if you have a question later today or tonight, you can also call our listener line. That number is 844-322-2742. Call anytime. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Friends, Scripture clearly reveals that the light of the world is Jesus Christ, and that's the message people need to hear. As Bob and Richard have told us, we need your help to take the new covenant in its purest form to those who have yet to hear. So please help today if you can. Click donate at basicgospel.net or use the Basic Gospel app or PayPal. Canadian friends, you can donate at basicgospel.net/Canada. And when you do, you'll receive 5 copies of We Are New Covenant. And those can be placed into the hands of those closest to you. That helps us get the gospel out, and you'll be blessed for doing so. We're getting close to the end of the month, friends, so please help us get the message out. Well, we are out of time today, and look forward to being back again tomorrow. So for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, for all of us here at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back same time, same station tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.